They were frightened.
I want masks. What is this?
Listen, I'll grant your Felger is crazy.
Here we go.
Man, I got to lay off the peyote.
It was horrendous.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bye! But how hard were you laughing at the Pittsburgh Steelers yesterday, fellas? I was laughing my ass off at that embarrassment of a football team.
I mean, it was immediate. On that first drive, there was a hot knife through butter that the Jacksonville Jaguars go right down the field and score to make it 7-0. They needed a focused, prepared start to that game, and the Steelers were anything but. And this was coming off the tweet from Le'Veon Bell the night before that blew my mind, where he says, oh, looks like 2 weeks of back-to-backs. You know, it was going to be the Jaguars. They were going to be easy. And then they get the New England Patriots. Again, they were so focused on the Patriots and not this game against the Jaguars. I wasn't shocked at all that they lost that game yesterday. What idiots.
They get their asses kicked.
That's the story.
They got their asses kicked. I mean, that's the thing. They gave up 75 points in two home games to Blake Bortles. 75 points. How does that happen? I mean, to me, that is an indictment more than anything else on their coaching staff. That is pathetic.
What a joke. Don't you feel like such a fool? Even to be a Steelers fan, I would feel like a fool. I would. I would feel like a loser if I were a fan of that team. Never mind a member of that team. After all the yapping. Again, yap, 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 all the hype again, and you go out and you get punched in the mouth like that. And we'll talk about all the stupid mistakes that the Steelers made yesterday. Clock management, fourth down calls, all those things. The real story is that you did not show up to play that football game. You were not ready to go. You got hit in the mouth on both sides of the ball.
They got manhandled at the line of the scrimmage, particularly when Jacksonville had the ball. I mean, the Jacksonville offensive line, I thought, won that game. They completely manhandled Pittsburgh.
Because Pittsburgh's not ready to go. And it has been a consistent trend in my adult lifetime that this is the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, I talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers' identity, Maz. I've talked about it before, about how, like, you know,
run the ball, linebackers, that kind of thing.
I mean, not just that. I mean, I sort of, there's a part of their identity that I respect, Murray, is that they're usually competitive. They usually have their act together. They're almost always physical.
The consistency of it.
You know, so it's sort of like the Steelers pretty much have the same feeling about them now as they did when I was a kid, which is a neat trick, yeah. Right? You know, over a whole generation. So but you know what else is a part of their makeup?
Stupidity.
Gagging. Losing at home in playoff games. Running your mouth. Running your yap.
I call that stupidity.
Letting your players run their mouths. Letting everyone get ahead of themselves, the fan base, printing the Super Bowl tickets, lining the parade routes, everyone, all that hype, and just the yapping and the yapping and the yapping just to get your ass handed to you at home against a team you have no business losing to. And we can go back since Bill Cowher took over in 1992. It's really a trend. Remember all those Steelers losses at home in AFC title games? Remember when they lost to freaking Jim Harbaugh? And the Indianapolis Colts, remember that one? That might have been a divisional game, not a conference title game. But either way, they lose at home. Remember they lost at home to San Diego?
Yeah.
Remember they lose at home to Denver?
They actually didn't lose that Jim Harbaugh game. It was a Hail Mary.
Oh, they won. They won that one.
But they almost lost it.
They should have lost that one. They actually won that one. You're right. But they lose
Chargers.
Lose at home to the Chargers. Lose at home to the Broncos. Lose at home to you twice. Lose that game yesterday. They got 31 points to Baltimore a couple of years ago at home. I counted this up. They have 8 home playoff losses since Cowher took over in 92. That's a crap ton. I am sorry. This is a crap ton.
This is worse. This is worse. Jacksonville. Blake freaking Bortles.
45 points.
That's who they lost to. Blake Bortles at home after a bye with a trip to the AFC Championship game at stake. Blake Bortles is impotent. He's inept.
He wasn't that bad yesterday, though.
He sucks, Murray.
Every bad throw, he was effective with checkdowns. He never got sacked, and he didn't turn the ball over.
Okay,
but
this is my point. He shouldn't be that hard to defend. They made the game easy for him. How many of those guys were wide open? Wide open. Nobody near them.
Oh,
anybody
man,
could make those throws.
How many easy third down conversions did Bortles get? Was that unbelievable? The amount of times they would be in 3rd and 11, and a guy's wide open at 9 yards, and just falls forward 2 yards and easy for how many easy first downs did Blake Bortles get because of that stupid Pittsburgh defense? That soft zone, no idea how to play the game, stupid Pittsburgh defense.
I mean, to me, Pittsburgh should have lost that game like 45-21.
Two lucky plays. Two lucky chuck-em-up fourth and longs, go for touchdowns.
Absolutely.
Should have been a blowout.
I mean, Antonio Brown, to me, made a couple of great plays. You know, Roethlisberger, to a certain degree. But really, Antonio Brown. Otherwise, it's 45-21. They got their asses kicked. They did. They got their asses kicked.
What an embarrassment. What an embarrassment that whole franchise is. This is why I barely blame Tomlin, because this has been going on literally since the early 90s, Murray.
I blame Tomlin.
Do you remember after the AFC Championship game in 2001, Cordell Stewart after the game, the better team didn't win.
They've been at this for decades, Maz. And Tomlin sucks. But it's the same thing. It's the same thing of running your mouth, yapping, and the hype machine, and all those honks in Pittsburgh, and it's just they feed off themselves, and the next thing you know, they have to show up and win a game, and they get their ass handed to them. It happens over and over and over again, and that's as much of the makeup and part of the fabric of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Murray, as the steel curtain and all the stuff that I grew up with, is losing in these games because they get ahead of themselves. Oh, God, it's embarrassing. It's one thing to lose, so you lose. But to run your mouth like that, and to get caught up like that, like you all do there in Pittsburgh, you should be embarrassed. I mean, you really should. That's embarrassing.
To me, again, I come back to the coaching staff. Like, how'd you like their game plan? They've run their mouth plenty of times and won. This game, they were not prepared for this game. Tactically, they were not.
So that gives us the Jacksonville Jaguars, which will then give us either the Vikings with Case Keenum or the Eagles with Nick Foles, which means what, Maz? What was your line on Twitter?
Oh, has there ever been a team that played in the Super Bowl coming off a quadruple bye? Quadruple freaking bye. I looked it up. The Patriots haven't played one legitimate opponent in 13 weeks. 13 weeks, one legit opponent.
So I don't care about weeks 13, 14, 15, 16. That happens in the regular season. You shouldn't be going through the divisional round, conference championship, and then the Super Bowl and not play anybody. But that is about to be what happens.
See, I think Minnesota will give them a game. But Philly, I can't see it. Not with that clown playing quarterback.
You're getting the game on Sunday.
This week?
Yep.
This week?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
Jacksonville's not going to score, Murray.
Oh, I mean, please. They're not gonna, come on. We're going to do this. They're going to get shut out. They're going to put up three points.
No. And I say they're not. When I say they're not going to score, they're not going to score enough. They're not going to get to 20. They got no shot. It's over. See you in Minneapolis.
I think people are taking this team too lightly. I get it. Blake Bortles sucks. But if he can be what he was yesterday, you're going to have a game. This defense is no joke.
I mean, to me, there's one...
The defense that just gave up 42?
Yep. No, and I know they got torched by the San Francisco 49ers and the second coming in Jimmy Garoppolo, too, and it's maybe the same kind of offense, and Brady's going to be able to do the same thing.
They are.
I have my doubts. With the pressure that they can get and those cornerbacks and the lack of separation that you see with these wide receivers,
You don't have to throw the receivers.
So you just double up Gronk, and then good luck going to these receivers. Outside of Hogan, who can you really trust?
Backs.
And dump it to every little guy that's open 3 yards past the line of scrimmage, and they're going to kill him. They're going to kill him.
I'm telling you. Listen, Murray, I hear you. There's only one reason I would even give Jacksonville a sniff. And nope. I do give him a little bit of a sniff.
And that's the scariest reason of all.
Tom Coughlin.
The Patriots' kryptonite.
That's it. Tom Coughlin. And I'm not even sure he can do anything in the role he's in, but hopefully, maybe he like stabs Doug Marrone in the back, gives him some sort of flesh injury, and takes over the headset on the sideline.
It's another pop gun Punch and Judy team. They're not much different than the Tennessee Titans. It's going to be the same kind of game. It's not, Murray. It's not. Ooh, the rights. You just like the fact they have a running back. Ooh, Leonard Fournette. 100 yards and 3 touchdowns. What did that do for you on your fantasy team?
I wasn't playing fantasy.
He's not even right. I don't think he's healthy after the limping off the field. They shot him up to the high heavens. That's
Leonard
out of the gate,
Fournette.
Too.
Let me tell you something. Him being hurt helps them, doesn't hurt them. Because if Leonard Fournette is hurt, it might get them out of this stupid notion they have to come in and establish the run. Perfect way to lose 42-10.
I'd sit Brady this week.
Is to come in here and try to establish the run.
People are nuts.
Find a big, slow running back. Here's a guarantee. Leonard Fournette will have under 40 yards, under 3 yards a carry in that game. He will be a non-factor. Non-factor. They're going to be down 27 points at half. What's the point of handing it off? Here's what's going to happen. The Pats are going to key on Leonard Fournette in the first half because that's the only guy you need to worry about. And then they're going to be down 27 points at half and they won't need to hand off. 40 points might be high. My over-under for Fournette is 28 yards, 2.7 yards per carry, and I'll take the under. Leonard Fournette. If anything, him being hurt might help Jacksonville. The other kid can be just as impactful. Bigger. Do they ever throw to Fournette?
Yeah, they do occasionally. He caught a ball in that game, in fact.
Okay, but they throw to the other kid more,
Yeldon,
right?
Like, TJ Yeldon, yeah.
The Yeldon's more of a pat. They're better off with that kid. Much better off with Yeldon. Much better. But hopefully for the Patriots, Fournette's healthy, and they come in and they try to establish Leonard Fournette.
You're getting a game someday.
Oh, my God.
I told you, I'd start Hoyer.
Felger and Maz. Felger and Maz. We want to appeal to your ears.
Blood force drum.
I'm going to run it right down their throat.
This is Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I was kind of wondering why they were so confident because we stomped their ass last time. And we knew we was going to do the same this time. I mean, we were confident coming in the game. I can't tell you why they were so confident, but that went out the door real quick.
That is, what an embarrassing, I would be embarrassed to be a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. I really would. I'd be embarrassed if that were my team.
You can call them stupid. Stupid's the word. They're stupid. Steelers are stupid. S-T-O-O-P-I-D, stupid.
There's nothing worse than a team that runs its mouth and then can't back it up repeatedly, year after year. That's who I feel they are. That's what I feel they are. And you know, say this about Jacksonville. They've got their swagger. They're swagged up. That was Jalen Ramsey.
He's very entertaining.
We've got a whole series of cuts, sir, that are great. Jimmy, can you play the one he talks about being swagged up? So, and then cue up the pep rally cut, because Jalen Ramsey now turns around and does exactly what the Steelers were doing. Here, give me another Jalen Ramsey here, Stu.
Excuse my language. We don't give a we really don't care. Like I said, we knew what we was going to come in here. We knew what we was going to do. This team, we don't really be worried about all of that. When y'all bring that to us, that's honestly the first time we hear about it. Like, during the week when y'all bring the Mike Mitchell thing to me, that was the first time I heard about it. We don't care about none of that. Talking is cool. You can do all the talking you want on Twitter, to the media, all of that. But when you get on the field, you're going to have to produce. You're going to have to show us what you're really about. We confident because we know the work we put in. We know, the blessings the Lord has given us. So, I mean, we're going to go out there confident. We're going to go out there swagged up.
Okay, they're swagged up, but their defense isn't good enough. This is what comes out of me with Jacksonville Mass. Blake Bortles I'm going to make fun of, and their running game and their running back I'm going to make fun of. But when you've lost to mediocre quarterbacks and, you know, running games. I'm not necessarily that's what's beating you. But it starts with the defense. If the Giants' defense can hold you, you know, when you lose the Super Bowls, you've got high teens or low 20s. Or the Ravens come in here, hold you to the high teens or the low 20s. Or the Jets come in here, hold you to 21 points or whatever it was that night. If the Jaguars can do that, then sure. Then, yeah, it doesn't matter. Blake Bortles, Leonard Fournette, Yeldon, it doesn't matter. Brandon Bolden, it doesn't matter who the running back is. They could get to 20 and give you a game. I don't think Jaguars' defense is good enough.
See, I think that they could keep the Patriots under 30. I don't think they can score. I look at it the opposite way. I think they get a lot of talent on that defense. Now, the number of big plays they gave up yesterday, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, they had laid down late in that game, and a couple of them were fluky. I mean, you even admitted that in the first segment, that the Martavis Bryant won, the Antonio Brown. They were kind of fluky.
They weren't fluky. They were prayers that were answered with great individual talent, which is what Pittsburgh has. No, Jacksonville gave those up.
See, I think that teams like that are vulnerable down the field, though. They play so aggressively that if you can beat them down, I just don't think that the Patriots have that in their game. So I could see Jacksonville holding them to 27 points. I could see that. How are they going to get to 27? How are they going to get to 27 against a team that actually plays disciplined defense?
Right, so this is my
point.
It
has a clue.
Can Jacksonville get to 24?
No.
Can they get to 20?
If Bortles plays like he played yesterday and they force a turnover or two, yes,
he
absolutely.
Bortles didn't. The guys were wide open, Murray. The guys were wide open. They were balloons he was throwing. How many tight windows did he put it into?
Not many.
I mean, they were wide open because, again, stupid plays that Pittsburgh plays that stupid zone.
Soft zone, too.
Unbelievably soft zone on 3rd and 7. They give you 6. On 3rd and 11, they give you 10. So all the guys do is stand there and fall forward 2 yards. How many times did Jacksonville do that? They're not going to allow Bortles to do that. It's not. Yesterday was about Pittsburgh, not about Jacksonville. Don't delude yourself. All right, your calls, I promise, here. Dave in the car, lead us off today. What do you got, Dave?
Yeah, that Pittsburgh game was great, just watching the whole thing, them running their mouths, and they come out and they do exactly the same thing that they always do, fall on their faces. The one thing, too, that I don't get is how come Roethlisberger doesn't check out of any of these stupid play calls coming from the sidelines after all this dealing with Haley and everything? Like, you would think after all these years in the league, he'd be like, yeah, screw you, Haley. I'm going to sneak the ball here and pick up the first down. We're not pitching it back 6 yards to Le'Veon Bell and lose 5 yards in the process.
So I'll tell you what. Of all the problems I had with Pittsburgh yesterday, Todd Haley's play calling is low on the list. I mean, okay, yeah, it was a pitch on that first 4th-and-1.
That was a brutal call.
It's to the best running back in the game.
Okay, but again, what are you tossing it out there for on 4th-and-1?
A pitch play on 4th-and-1? Come on, Mike. You're better than that.
I mean, it's a brutal play. That was a brutal play call.
To me, what's 10 times worse is just how they showed up, how they came out to play that game. They got hit on. They got hit in the mouth on both sides of the ball. They weren't ready to go. To me, that's the story.
When go ahead, Matt.
No.
I was just going to say, on any 4th-and-1, when you have that big fat moose at quarterback, lean forward. Just go forward. Go do a QB sneak. Don't get stupid. Don't get cute. What the hell are you doing? Especially on the 2nd-and-1 where you're throwing 15 yards down the field. Oh, my God.
The Steelers gave up 45 points to Blake Bortles. That's the story. Not Todd Haley's fault. And they're bad. Look, I'm not going to dispute it. I'm just telling you, that's on the list of outrages. If I'm a Steeler fan, those play calls are down the list. You gave up 45 points to Blake Bortles.
75 in two games against the same team. And 75 points to the Jacksonville Jaguars at home.
So the first game you get caught, it's a bye week or a trap week or whatever. That happens, okay? Now you're playing for all the marbles at home with 2 weeks to prepare, and you give up 45? 45. And do you know how many times? I mean, Pittsburgh got back in that game a couple times. They made it a 7-point game, I think, on 3 different occasions. And all 3 times, Jacksonville is able to extend the lead because Pittsburgh lets them go right down the field.
They couldn't stop them. I mean, again, Tomlin said as much. That's why they onside kicked late in the game instead of kicking it down the field, which honestly was a mistake. But different question. They couldn't stop them the whole game. They get steamrolled. Steamrolled.
Just a joke. Joe and Cranston, quickly. Joe, okay, baby, you can call us back. Dave in Florida, quickly. Hi, David.
Hey, hi. Two things. I mean, first of all, quick question you can answer in a second, but has Brady and Belichick ever beaten Coughlin in the postseason?
Not in the postseason, no.
No, not in the playoffs.
I don't think so. Then second of all, there are just, like you're saying, Tomlin, Andy Reid is not far behind him either. There are just some horrible, horrible, stupid coaches that are just overrated by the media.
Oh, my God, dude. Tomlin drooling down his face yesterday. You know, I mean,
literally, he had the spit in his beard for the whole 4th quarter.
The spittle. Like, that's how just, like, out there he is. He's just so not in tune. I mean, the first 4th down where they scored the touchdown at the end of the 2nd quarter, Maz, do you remember the situation?
One to Martavis Bryant you're talking about,
yes,
right?
Yes, exactly. So they had a 4th and 16, I think. I'm sorry, a 3rd and 16 or a 3rd and 11, like a 3rd and really long, and they threw it short to Antonio Brown, and they got tackled right at the field goal line, like right on the line where their kicker could, you know, his distance line. And they let tick, 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 and then after like 30, because they couldn't figure out what to do, kick it, go for it, what do we call? And then after about 30 seconds of standing around, they called timeout. Their last time out of the half, and then Ben just chucks it in the end zone as a touchdown. They got a bailout touchdown. But it's just, and this goes back to Tomlin, like there's no sideline command, there's no game management, there's no managing of the game whatsoever.
No, look, I told you, tactically, and I say tactically, like I'm freaking George Halas over here. How would you approach playing Jacksonville?
I'd key on the running back and make Bortles beat me.
Right, exactly. Don't give them big windows to throw and play more aggressively in the pass game and force them to make good passes. They never did that. They didn't come close to do it. Blake Bortles sucks. And they let him sit back there and throw little 7-yard checkdowns into a soft zone the whole day. I mean, that is just colossally stupid.
That's Pittsburgh.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Thanks for ending your workday with Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Dumb move.
And streaming at CBSBostonSports.com.
Brian Hoyer will handle one more snap. And drop to knee in victory formation as the final 35 seconds elapse. He goes down. And Bill Belichick tonight coaching in his 37th playoff game as a head coach. That's an NFL record. Leads the Patriots along with Tom Brady by his side into a 12th conference championship game. A 7th straight trip to the AFC championship. And the Patriots will stage it right here at Gillette next week versus either Jacksonville or Pittsburgh in the wake of their 35-14 rout of the Tennessee Titans.
You know, LeBron goes to the finals every year. Brady's in the AFC Championship every year. 12 AFC Championships. And again, the next closest guy is Montana with 7 in the championship games. Joe Montana has 7. He's second. Like, I equate this to Jack Nicklaus winning all the majors and then finishing second 19 times. That's what Brady is.
Well, this is Brady's 16th year. So he's made the conference title game in 12 of his 16 years.
Right. Well, 17th year, right? He came in part of 01.
So 17th year.
12 but still,
in 17 years.
That's insane.
Insane.
It is. It's insane. It's preposterous. And like you just, again, just compare it to the other guys that you would say are the great winners in NFL history.
I think it's 12 out of 16, Maz, because he's only, the years he missed are 02, 05.
08. If you throw 08 out, it's 12 out of 16.
Yeah, that's what I'm, yeah, his, yeah, the yeah. Years he quarterbacked, 12 out of 16.
Yeah,
he
that's right.
Only missed, and then you can, 05, 09, 10, and 2002, his second year as a starter. Those are the four times. Every year he's in the conference finals.
Right. So I was including 08 because, you know, but if you throw that one out because he was hurt, right, 12 out of 16 is correct.
Banana land. Absolutely banana.
It is. It's crazy. If he starts, you know, if he's the starter the whole year, they have a 75% chance of going to the AFC Championship. Think of that. It's insane.
It'll
it's
never
like,
be matched.
No, it's the craziest record you'll ever see. Again, Joe Montana went to 7 conference championships. This is Brady's 12th. It's not even. The gap between him and everybody else now is getting huge. Huge.
How'd you feel about the team on Saturday night?
Patriots?
Yeah.
Good. I mean, very good. You know, again, it's hard to tell defensively because of how inept Tennessee is. But I thought offensively, save for the first couple of series of the game, that they really found their stride, and I thought they did exactly what they always do, which is exploit the weaknesses on the defense, and they exploit it to no end. So all the way around, they looked a lot better than they did in the final, you know, month of the season, save for the Pittsburgh game.
Yeah, extrapolate the first quarter. I thought Brady was excellent. Because in that first quarter, you know, he had Gronk at one point, like, wide open. Ball was low. Missed him on a third down. But Brady was excellent. The Titans had no answers for those backs. I think you see how important James White is on third down. Danny Amendola was as close to Julian Edelman, I think, as you're going to get. So he was huge in that game. It was great. Except for one guy, and that would be Brandon Cooks.
What's your problem with Brandon Cooks?
Well, it's what my issue's been the whole year. No fight for the ball, hates contact over the middle, and now, oh, he's added something new to the repertoire, don't you know? If Brady's going to throw a bomb to him, well, he just won't run through it. He gets the alligator arms. The arms, which are short anyway, get even shorter. I loved that. That was great to see.
Yeah, listen, I'm no, you know, Cooks to me was a weak link in this game. He was, you know, one of the few Patriots you could point at and say, you know, bad night. And there weren't many of them. But Brady, they don't.
Oh, and another miscommunication, too. That might have been the worst of all when he had him wide open in the back of the end zone and he throws over the middle. Brady throws over the middle and Cooks just runs to the right. Like, that's good. 17 games in. That's excellent, Brandon Cooks.
Okay. Does it matter?
I think it might this week against
really?
These quarterbacks.
You
yeah.
Do?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Let's give that matchup to Ramsey or Bouya or who's ever covering Cooks. Let's give it to him. They're going to wipe out Brandon Cooks because Brandon Cooks, no matter who he's playing against, is not a good fit for your offense. He doesn't fight for the ball, and they have excellent corners, so wipe him out. He was a non-factor against Tennessee, and you scored, how many? 35?
35, yeah. And they didn't try in the fourth quarter.
And so what's the diff? Yeah, wipe out Brandon Cooks. I'll give you Brandon Cooks. Jacksonville, Brandon Cooks, checkmark, Jacksonville. Now what? So you're going to score 39 instead of 42. Big deal. So just don't throw to him.
Yeah, well, look, if you're asking, is it going to like cost them the game? No. Of course not.
My question is can one of those guys go inside and cover Amendola? They should be able to, because that was a factor. Like I think that was important that Amendola got going in the slot and some of those option routes and some of those, you know, just the Edelman stuff on the same page. You can break in, break out. Where's the leverage? He's on the same page as Brady. First down. Like he hadn't really done that a lot. Maybe they're saving it for now, but that's really important to the Patriots' offense. Does Bouye get one of those guys? And am I pronouncing his
Bouye? Yeah, you get it right.
You know. Can one of those guys bounce inside? And so, okay, now can you take out Cooks and Amendola in the slot with just those single corners, and then you can double Gronk? Maybe. I don't know.
He's just a concern to me because I look at him as a liability. I really, and because Brady keeps throwing to him, too. And I get it. You know, there is talent there, and I would like to think he'd be on the same page with him. He's just not.
See, this should be a game, though. Like, I hear what Murray's saying. This should be a game where Cooks can make a play. He's not going to catch a ton of balls, but, you know, this could be a 3 catches for 78 yards and a touchdown, something like that. You know, because it looked to me like Jacksonville's vulnerable down the field.
That bomb to him was embarrassing. Run through it, dude. Like, what are you doing?
I mean, you get defenses that play that aggressively. If you have an outside guy with speed, you should be able to hit on one of those.
So 8 sacks for the Pats defense. Does that tell you that they're getting there on D?
No.
Just that kind of night.
That kind of night. I mean, they got ahead, and, you know, they were able to start getting after the quarterback, and then, you know, the whole thing with Mariota's quad I found comical, too.
Please,
you
stop.
Know, like, all of a sudden, and just some of the analysis of the game,
well, wait,
I'm laughing at.
Do you think he wasn't hurt?
No, I think he was.
Okay. Non-factor.
Yeah, but irrelevant. It's like the thing I was asking you about earlier, Murray, off the air. The punt at the end of the second quarter, you know, was it a questionable call with the offside, and did the Patriots catch a break there? Probably. Didn't matter. Tennessee's not in their field, in their class. To me, that's what. No matter what happened in that game, they were going to get plastered.
And Jacksonville's the exact same thing.
See, I think they're a little better, but they're not going to win.
They're the exact same thing with Tom Coughlin. Which, fine, I'll give you. You know, like that. You have to have some respect for that.
They have a better defense than Tennessee does.
On paper, they do. On paper, but I think you're going to do the exact same thing as you mentioned. You put it well. They're going to find out. They're going to find your vulnerability, and they're going to just pick, and you're going to have 30 plus points on the board. I mean, this Tennessee team, right? They got to the first couple of series. Well, they can't cover running backs, so you just pick with the running backs. Then they get tired. Then you start going up tempo, and the next thing you know, Tennessee's basically gassed, basically giving up in the second quarter because they're so winded and out of shape. And you see it immediately, and you go up tempo, and they're done. Pad levels up. Now you're slicing through them like a knife through butter. And it's going to be the same thing with Jacksonville. Maybe it's not the running backs. Maybe it's Gronk. Or maybe even it's the running game. Who the hell knows? The Pats will find it because you can't cover everything. Jacksonville's not that great of a defense. They'll find it, and they'll pick it apart to death to the point where they're in the high 20s, low 30s, and Bortles stands no chance. And you're Leonard Fournette. Make me laugh, please, with that. He can't keep up with the running back. And that's it. That's it.
I mean, if the Patriots spread, Murray, if the Patriots spread them out, right, they go 5 wide, and Brady sits back there, who's going to match up with all these guys?
I just think you're...
Well, once you get past Bouye and Ramsey, who's going to cover Gronk and Deion Lewis?
Oh, no, their linebackers aren't all that good. Plus, Lesney's not that good.
That's what Maz is saying.
No, but I think you're... I don't think you're giving credit to the Jacksonville pass rush as much as you should.
Ball's going to come out fast. They're not going to get there. I just think that they don't have enough horses. They're good. Their defense is good. I don't feel like Mike does. Like, I don't think their defense blows.
Overrated.
But I think the Patriots will look at it and go, okay, fine, so take away Cooks. Hell, take away Gronk. We'll go to the other guys. How are you going to cover them?
Hey, I hope you're right. I just think it's going to be a game. The pass rush is real. And the other thing, too, and I put it in the email chain. I never thought I'd write it in my life. They're going to miss. I feel like they're going to miss LeAdrian Waddle, who got hurt and probably isn't. It definitely isn't going to end up coming back. There's only 2 games left. So, okay. And the depth there is a concern. So now they're going to move over. It's going to be, why am I drawing a blank? Who's now going to be at the right?
Cam Fleming?
All right, so Cam Fleming. So if someone goes down, now we're talking about Croston or one of these other guys that they're going to try to move, you know, all of a sudden it's like...
Murray.
I just think you're taking this team too lightly. I do.
You're playing a second-class operation. It's a two-bit punch-and-Judy second-tier team. That's locked, not in your category, just like the Titans are.
Lockdown corners, pass rush, they can come up the middle. It's a lot like the Texans, and granted, they came in here and gave them a game last year. It was because of the quarterback and the offense. They weren't able to really hang with them and ultimately win that game.
Thank you.
But I think you're discrediting the running game with Leonard Fournette.
Yes, I definitely am.
I know
there's
you are.
No question.
No shock there.
27-10.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Lewis off Brady's left hip as the quarterback takes a shotgun snap. Pressure from the edges, a long throw left, looking for Cooks. He's got a step, and he can't get there as the ball lands at the 30. A beautiful throw as Brandon Cooks reaching out with his hands after bidding a Dory Jackson could not reel it in.
He short-armed it. How does he not run through this? I mean, it's contact down. They're chucking each other. And he I mean, what if you're if it's going to be away from you, lay out. Oh, that's not. He's got to have that. That's one of the frustrating things with Cooks at times. It seems like everything's got to be. It's got to be on target. The ball is going to move with these conditions. You're playing in Foxborough, middle of January. It's a little bit of a blustery win. That's a heck of a throw.
Brady surveys the defense, sends Cooks in motion, left to right. The quarterback takes a shotgun snap. He's looking left, now he scans the middle. He throws back at the end zone, incomplete. He was looking for Cooks to reverse direction as he was covered by Logan Ryan.
Tom Brady is so frustrated right now with Brandon Cooks.
So is that an option route? How would you explain what Cooks is supposed to do?
Oh, my God.
With
he,
there?
Cooks ran a, went to the back end line and went right. Brady thought he's breaking left. There was a hole in the middle. Mm-hmm. He's not reading things correctly.
Zoe was pissed, too, and rightfully so. That was a bad night from Cooks.
Okay, Dan in California, what do you got for us? Hello, Dan.
Yeah, as far as Patriots' future, this is what I think they should do. Name Josh McDaniels as their assistant head coach. Belichick's got 2 years left. They can step. McDaniels can step in after 2 years, take over the organization.
Okay, so
then Belichick.
Right, Dan, it's not going to happen. Thanks for the call. Apparently, Josh is going to take the job in Indy.
Sounds it.
So, what does that tell you? Does that tell you that Belichick's here and he's here for a while?
Not necessarily. I mean, I'm not determining anything based on that.
Because you don't think, you've said before, you don't think Josh would love this job. Or he, you know.
Yeah, I think McDaniels and Patricia both sort of look at it and say, and came to a realization, do you really want to be the guy to follow that guy? Do you really want to be that guy? And so, you know, maybe it just got to the point where they said, you know what, this is not the job we want anyway, we're out of here. I'm starting to buy into that Bill O'Brien stuff that Burt Breer had, that he's going to be the guy. I don't know who it is.
Well, they gave him a 5-year extension.
Yeah, he just got extended down there.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Maybe that's all leveraging.
I bet there's a way out, like if he gets offered president of football operations or something.
Nice, Jimmy.
I mean, there's always a trade to be made, isn't there?
Nice. Yes, there sure is. Well, story for another day, but it looks like Patricia's gone to Detroit, McDaniel's gone to Indianapolis, and Bill's going to have a lot of work to do in the offseason. A lot of work. And we'll see what happens with Caserio as personnel guy, and then we see what happens at the draft with the next quarterback. That's the next thing, because the 6th Super Bowl championship, Murray, is pretty much in the bag. So maybe we should start looking ahead to that right now.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.